Amen. Scripture reads, it says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. Then if you could go down a little bit further in that scripture to verse 39. As Jesus has gone out to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. My brothers and my sisters, I want to share the sermon subject, I need a friend I can depend on. Need a friend I can depend on. Let us look to the Lord God. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we're grateful. Thank you, God, for this moment. Thank you for your power. Thank you, God, for your grace and your strength. Now, God, center me, focus me, send the preacher, send the Holy Ghost. And we'll be sure to give your name the honor, the praise, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. A friend can depend on. Brothers and my sisters, you all know I like March Madness. You all know I like basketball. You all know that this is a great time of year for me. And not just to watch the games, but it causes me to reflect upon team building. What does it take to make a championship team? What does it take to get a group of folks together that can be able to stand the test of time? What does it take to get folks that can not just play good during the season, but can play good during the tournament, and not just during the tournament, but when the lights come on and the pressure is building, and in the last minutes of the game, what does it take to build the kind of a team that can handle the moment and the pressure to be able to win championships? It's a very interesting thing for me about putting together a team, different personalities, different people from different places and different ways, and being able to see how you pull them all together to try to put together the kind of a team that can win a championship. Even as I look at scripture, I realize that that's what Jesus was attempting to do, that Jesus was trying to put together a championship team. That Jesus was trying to put together a team. He had pulled them from different places. He had pulled some folks who were a tax collector. He had pulled some fishers. He had pulled different folks from different walks of life, pulled them together, tried to coach them up, tried to train them for 3 years so that they could get to a place and get to a space that they could be able to walk along this journey as this team, as this championship group. I would say that the disciples in that time would be considered a number one seed. They would be considered someone favored, someone at the top of their division, having been with one of the best to ever do it, to try to be able to walk along this journey. And in the midst of all of that, he still had folks that he couldn't depend on when it got rough. It's interesting to me because Jesus thought he put together this great team, but the truth be told, that when it got down to crunch time, when it got down to the last minutes, when the pressure was there and when it was all on the line, that he realized that some of them, most of them, if not all of them, were not able to rise to the occasion. It's a very interesting thing because when the rubber hit met the road, Jesus realized he didn't have the friends he could what? Depend on. It's interesting, my brothers and my sisters, because in our own lives, I believe that sometimes we think we put together that squad. We put together our crew. We put together our folks. We put together our friends. And we think we put together an all-star team. And there are seasons in our life in which it looks like an all-star lineup that all of our friends are rocking and rolling with us. They're there for us. They're moving along with us. But every now and then in somebody's life, when the rubber meets the road, when times get rough, when challenges come up, you find that some who you thought were going to be with you forever fade out, are not able to be who you want them to be, are not able to walk along this journey with you, and you realize that where you thought you had a number one seed, that really you weren't able even to make it through the beginning of the tournament. Have I got a witness in the house today? Is there anybody here who knows what it's like to be disappointed by somebody? Now, I'm not necessarily coming here right now to talk about the people who misused you or abused you. I need you to be clear. This sermon is not to tell you to reconnect, to get back together with folks who mistreated you, misused you, or abused you. But I'm talking about, has anybody got friends who, it was not necessarily they misused you, but they disappointed you. It was not necessarily they did straight up and down dirt on you. They just were not able to be there for you in the way that you were always there for them. They disappointed you. You expected more out of them than I'm talking about. You had given them so much of you, but yet when you needed them to be able to be there for you, they couldn't be there for you. Have I got at least somebody in the house that knows what I'm talking about? And so I'm not talking about the evil folks in your life. I'm talking about the well-meaning folks in your life who just disappointed you and weren't able to rise to the moment and the occasion. Somebody here, you've got some anger, you've got some bitterness, you've got some resentment, you've got some frustration you've been dealing with for a long time because of somebody who you loved and you thought loved you back, who you thought was your best friend, your best folks was going to be riding with you into the sunset, and yet when things got rough, they were nowhere around. They were not able to stand the heat of the moment. Have I got at least one witness that can bear witness that I've got some stuff in me? And I've come by to tell you, you've got to find some friends we can depend on. One of the first things I believe we can understand when we look at this scripture, and usually what happens is I just use kind of one scripture, one story, but I believe that these two scriptures are part of almost the same kind of story, the same move, the same night. And so I want to be able to share them with you. What we learned, what I learned from Jesus, the first thing I want you to understand is that nobody can get it right all the time. Okay, let me come back for you. Let me come back for you. When you look at the scripture, what you will find is, I told you, Jesus had put together this number one team, and if there was anybody on this team that it was his starting point guard, it was a guy by the name of Peter. And here you have Peter, and Jesus has worked with them. I'm talking about he's worked with them to the point in which when it was time to, he gave them the power to go out, and they went out, and they were able to heal the sick. They went out and were able to cause demons to run up out of people. They watched Jesus feed folks with fish and loaves of bread, thousands of folks. They watched Jesus even call into a graveyard and a brother get up. And here you have Peter, and Jesus is having a conversation with Peter, and Peter says, Jesus, I'm with you. I'm your ride or die. I'm your man. I'm your folks. Peter says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison, and I'm even ready to die with you. And Jesus turns to Peter and said, Peter, before this night is over, you're going to deny me three times. And one of the things that I've come to understand about this scripture, one of the things I've come to understand about life is that sometimes we want people to be something that we already know they can't be. All right. Let me come back for you. The thing I like about Jesus is that Peter was saying he was going to ride with him. Peter was saying he would die for him. And Jesus told him, Peter, I know you mean well, but I know that you're not built for this work. I know that you're not built for what I'm about to go through. I know you're not built for what I'm about to deal with. And I know you think it sounds cute to say you'll ride with me. It sounds cute to say you'll go to prison for me. It sounds cute to say you'll die for me. But the truth be told, you're going to deny me before this night is over three times because you're not built for this work. And I've come by to try to help somebody today because you're frustrated about the fact that they could not be what you knew they couldn't be. You wanted people to do something or be something for you. The truth be told, they did not have the capacity to be for you, and you actually knew it, but you expected them to do something or be something for you that you, if you're truthful about yourself, you knew them good enough to understand they weren't built for that load to move in that season in your life. And you're upset and you're frustrated and you're grappling with stuff because you wanted them to be able to rise up and stand up for you in your moment of crisis. But the truth be told, you know they have never stood up for nobody in their moment of crisis. The truth be told, you know they have never been wired to be able to give as much as you gave to them. And you want them to be for you what you've been for them. But the truth be told, that what you were for them was really a part of your dysfunction and your people pleasing and your need to take care of folks and your need to fix broken folks, and you're sitting there trying to get some healthy a relationship out of somebody who you whipped because you was trying to fix them in the first place. But I've come by to let you know, you've got to let that stuff go. Don't you understand? I was sharing at 10 o'clock services, me and Reverend Bill and young people, this is not the way we ever want you to live your life. But you know, in this region, during the 80s and the 90s, you could end up getting into a lot of issues. Amen, somebody. Let's just say issues. Amen, somebody. Get into a lot of issues. And you had to know that the people who you were with at any given time would be able to match up with whoever you got to match up against. Amen, somebody. And so we would have this system, in which if there were seven people we were dealing with, and it seemed like there's going to be beef, you'd look and you'd count and see how many people you got, amen, somebody, and so, well, we got five, and so we know, well, this five, we believe, can rock with this seven, amen, somebody, and so, because we would know who we can count. Have I got a witness in the house today? Anybody? Whoever did that kind of math, amen, somebody? I call it hood arithmetic, amen, somebody? I call that joke a hood arithmetic, amen, somebody? So, and then you're trying to look and see who you believe on your squad can handle one and a half or two, amen, somebody? Well, it's too small when it, and Big James, he kind of swole, so Big James can handle that youngin' and put him on the other little small youngin', and we'd be all right, amen? That the math adds up. But Reverend Bill had a friend, and this brother, he made it clear for us, this was not Brother Curtis, amen, somebody. Brother Kurt and his brother Ross always squatted up and always matched up, and they never ran, amen, somebody. I had to do that because people were trying to ask us last service if Kurt was the one, amen, somebody. But Brother Kurt, no, he was not the one. If he was the one, he would not be our security right now, amen, somebody. Wouldn't be his anointing. Amen? Amen. Amen. He could do something else, but he wouldn't be security. But my brother's friend, who we had grown up with since elementary school, he told us off the top. He said, look, y'all, I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. He said, y'all seem to like to fight every time we go out. He said, so if it seemed to come to fight, I need y'all to know ahead of time, don't count me. Said, if it's seven of us, that means it's six of y'all. Amen, somebody, it's six of y'all. He said, that's not the way I'm wired. That's not the way I'm built. I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. I actually appreciated the fact that on the top end, we knew not to count. He still hung with us. Amen, somebody. It's just we knew that if we was going somewhere for some stuff, amen, we just added somebody else instead of him. Because we understood what he was and what he wasn't. It would be foolish of me to get upset with him if we got into a fight and he didn't fight, and I expected him to catch my back because I knew from the beginning what he was. Somebody in the house today, and you've been expecting people to be loyal to you that ain't never been loyal to nobody. Amen, somebody. You've been expecting people to give good advice to you that ain't never gave good advice to nobody. You've been expecting people to be able to have a sense of attentiveness to you, and they can't even be attentive to themselves. Amen, somebody. And you're sitting there getting upset with them when you were expecting something out of them only God can give you. Turn to your neighbor, say, it's only some stuff that God can. That's the reason I like how Jesus dealt with Peter. That Jesus said, Peter, I know you mean well. You say you're going to die for me, but I know that you're going to deny me three times. But if you look at the scripture before that, Jesus said, but Peter, I prayed for you. And somebody in the house today, you've got to understand that your role in somebody's life is not to make them make you, but is to pray for them so they can get to what God has for them. Amen, somebody. And you sitting here upset because they disappointed you, but really you disappointed that you disappointed yourself. First thing is that the second thing I want you to understand is sometimes you got to go to the garden alone. Turn to your table and say, all by myself. When you look at the scripture, what you'll realize is you see Jesus, and Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus goes to the garden. It's his place where he regularly goes to pray, and his disciples are with him, a few of them, and he leaves them at a distance, and he goes a little further in to pray. But when he leaves them, he says, look, can y'all stay awake and pray? But when he comes back, they're sleeping. And Jesus is upset with them. Another version of the story talks about he comes back a couple of times and they're sleeping. And he says, can't you not tarry with me for 1 hour? In other words, can't y'all at least just be with me for 1 hour? I'm going through my worst season. I'm going through my worst challenge. I'm trying to figure out what God is talking about me to do. I believe I'm getting ready to go and have to face this cross. I'm believing they're about to come any minute now. And I just got to get my head right. And at least my friends could be with me and for me in this season. as I'm getting ready to go a little bit higher in my, anybody ever felt lonelier the higher you got in God? Anybody ever felt that the more you grew, the lonelier you got and the more you seemed to be all by yourself? But I've come by to let you know that comes with the territory, amen? That as you grow, the old folks used to say, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. And the places I used to go, I don't go no more. And the things I used to say, I don't say no more. I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Let me help you. If the things you used to do, you don't do no more, and the places you used to go, you don't go no more, and the things you used to say, you don't say no more, but if the friends you used to do it with and go there with and say it with, you don't do it no more, but they're still doing the same thing. And so therefore, there's no way that you can still be connected in the way you were connected, because the places you used to go, you don't go no more, but that's where they are. The things you used to do, you don't do no more, so that's where they are. The things you used to say, you don't say no more, but that's what they're talking about. And you're upset because your phone not ringing, but the thing is, you're growing. And sometimes to grow is gonna get lonely. And the trick of the enemy is to get you to go backwards to the places you used to go and do the things you used to do just so you can have some company. But I don't need company on the way to hell. I don't need company tearing up my life. I don't need company in misery. I don't need company in foolishness. But baby, if I'm growing to be who God has called me to be, if I'm growing towards my destiny, if I got to walk it all by myself, I'll walk it all by myself. Turn to your neighbor and say, it gets lonely sometimes. One of the things I realized the most when I was growing and when I was shifting is there were folks who used to be my folks. I mean, they were my folks. And the thing is that all of a sudden I couldn't be with them the way I used to be with them. And it was the loneliest space. But I came to understand during that season, if you can't be good with yourself, you ain't good. You better stop crying about the fact that ain't nobody rang your phone and put you some makeup on and get your hair did and take yourself to dinner. Take yourself to the movies. Take yourself to the theater. You better find a date for yourself. You better self. Don't you let nobody technology you and call you at 12 in the morning, 12 midnight, because you lonely talking about what you doing. I'm praying and seeking the Lord. Get off my daggone phone. Ain't no, I may be Netflixing, but I ain't chilling with you. Have I got a witness in the house today? You better be good with yourself, because if you can understand to be good with yourself, then you'll understand you ain't never alone. I may be by myself, but baby, I ain't lonely, because I've learned that God will be able to be with you in the midst of your by yourself situation. You don't understand it? Let's look at Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus' friends were sleeping on him. One was in the process of about to deny him. He's praying all by himself. But the Bible said God sent an angel to give him strength. Somebody in the house today, you feeling all by yourself, but I've come by to let you know that God sent an angel to make you a picnic basket. That God sent you an angel to be able to walk with you and talk with you and let you know everything gonna be all right. If I got anybody up in here that said God sent me an angel to walking around with me, that God is taking care of me. The third thing, and I'm always I'm out of here, is you got to always understand that no matter how things go with your crew, that there's always next season. Aye, 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 there's always next season. One of the things, hallelujah. I was talking with Reverend David Bowers, and Reverend David Bowers is a UVA fan. And you know, University of Virginia has now gone to the championship game. They had made the Final Four. But as I was sitting and talking with him, he let me know something. He said, Reverend, you got to tell the people this sometime. You got to preach this. I said, what, Reverend? He said, you got to remember that last season, the UVA had a great season. They were the number one seed. They were considered to be one of the number one contenders. They were considered to be one of the ones who were prominently favored to be able to go to this Final Four. He said, but they lost in the first round to a 16 seed. They lost in the first round to a 16. Never happened before. They lost to the first round to a number 16 seed. And he said, what you've got to understand, Reverend, it was one of the worst losses of their life as a team. The coach had put together this team who had been able to do such wonderful things during the season. This team who had been able to do such wonderful things and have such great victories during the season. They were the number one seed. They looked like they were going to go all the away. But yet, in the first round of the playoffs, it does not. I don't know if the lights got too bright for them. I don't know if they couldn't stand the pressure. I don't know if they had a mental break. I don't know what it was, but they were not built and ready to be able to navigate it, and they lost in the first round to a 16 seed. It was the most horrific, the most disappointing kind of a loss. They were disappointed with each other. They were disappointed with their team. They were disappointed with it all. But now we find ourselves in next season. And in the next season, now they are actually going to play for the U.S. championship, the national championship, because they did not let what happened in last season, God have mercy, dictate what happened to them in this season. They understood that last season, that some of them were there, and they understood that some ended up leaving. They understood that some new players came, and they were able to take some of the core of the old players and some of the core of the new players and be able to pull together a squad to get to the national championship. I'm trying to help somebody today because I'm trying to let you know that some of the things that got dismissed in previous seasons, you've got to look over your life and say, was that person my friend? But did our friendship end because they disrespected me, because they misused me or abused me? Or did their friendship end because I was disappointed in who they could not be for me in that season? Because there are some folks in your life who have not been in your life who have grown over the past season. And I believe that God is going to be reconciling you with some folks. But you've got to let go of some of the bitterness and the frustration and the anger that you have. Some of y'all need to go back to old family members and say, I don't know what argument has us not talking for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. But it's time for me to at least try to reconcile with you. Because I'm trying to let you know in this new season that God's going to bring some folks back to you. But not just bring some folks back to you. God's going to bring you some new team members too, because some folks don't need to be on the team no more, but God's going to bring you a new crew. God's going to bring you some prayer partners. God's going to bring you some folks who can be for you what you are for them, that you ain't always got to take care of them, but if you're going through a rough season, they can check on you too. Have I got a witness in the house today that God can pull together some things? And in your new season, while last season you took the worst loss of your life, this season you can pray for the championship, because God is able to turn it around. If I got anybody in the house today that says, baby, this is my new season, that I know you saw me last year. I know you saw me in my last season. I know you saw me in my worst defeat. But don't you worry about that, because I learned from that defeat. I got tougher. I got smarter. I worked out harder. I served God better. And I believe God's going to do a work in this new season. It's my season. It's my time. And how do I know it? Because I've got a friend. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal all your soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. I like how the songwriter said, Jesus knows all about my troubles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. If I got anybody in the house today to say he's my friend, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what needless. Have I got somebody up in here? Say, baby, he's my friend. How do I know he's my friend? Because he'll walk with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I may look like I'm lonely, but baby, I ain't alone. Don't get it twisted. If God be for me, it's more than the world against me, and can't no devil in hell keep me from what God has for me, because it's my season and it's my time, it's my moment, and I'm about to walk all the way into it. Give somebody a high five and tell them now is your season. I speak over you prophetically. It's a new season, it's a new day. A fresh anointing is coming your way. A season of power and prosperity. It's a new season coming for you and for me. I wish I had somebody who would give God glory for a new season. Walk in it. Talk in it. Live in it. Be in it. Baby, God on my side. Nothing. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Somebody say yeah. Somebody give God glory for a new season. Somebody give God praise for a new purpose. Because I can do all things through Christ that what? Strengthens me. We'll talk about Reverend. I took a bad loss last season. That's all right, baby, because all things work together for the good of them. And a call to the Lord. Is there anybody in here? Because I've had some rough times, but all things work together. I've had some broken hearts, but all things work together. I've made some bad mistakes, but all things work together. I don't know what you're going through. I'm letting you know God can use it in the mix. Mix it up with grace and mercy. And all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, called according to his purpose. If you're, hallelujah, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Since I lay my burdens down, I feel better, so much better. Since I lay my burden, Lord, I said, friends don't treat me like they used to. Since I lay my burdens down. Burdens down, Lord. Burdens down, Lord. Trying to talk to somebody right now. You got to lay that stuff down. You've been carrying that stuff too long. That frustration, that anger. Even if you don't ever get back with them, you got to let that frustration go and let them go and say, God bless you. You're in my prayers, but I'm not going to keep carrying all this stuff on me. Because you didn't know how good I was or how to bless me the way I... Burdens down, Lord. Burdens down, Lord. Since I laid... My burdens down. Won't you stand all over the church, all that are able? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I feel like God trying to set somebody free in here. Hallelujah. I feel like if you'll just turn it over to the Lord, God will take it up off of you. Hallelujah. You've been carrying that weight for 7 years. Let it go in the name of Jesus. Be free.